Yeah, you'll often hear that a family is going through what we call sorry business, when a member of the family or a beloved member of the community or even a leader in the national sense passes away. There'll be a period of mourning that's observed, you know, the business of being sorry, you know, which I think is a nice way to describe it in a way, and it gives me great comfort. So if you know, oh, there's someone away on sorry business, it means they're attending to the business of life now that that person is gone, which takes time.
I think these practices are for the living rather than for the dead. And it helps the people who are left behind deal with the death of their loved ones. I myself have been trying to deal with a few deaths that I still find very hard to deal with. When my uncle died, my auntie, she fainted a few times. If it weren't for the people she was surrounded by, there wouldn't have been anybody else to support us.
Every year, like, anyway, my grandparents, the day everybody come, but memory day every year, we do it.
It's hard to say goodbye to the people we love. And love is always a complex thing. It's not a pure river. I can think of all kinds of reasons in myself why I think we have done it and why we should do it. But when you say, why do we? I think we do have in ourselves, no matter how we may regard ourselves as lacking religious or spiritual beliefs and practices, we do have a desire to honour the passages of our lives. My learning about death is affected by my own life. My mother suicided when I was 19. And then so she was 53. Then it was only as I was coming up to 53 that I realised that I had made some decision in my life that I wouldn't do that, because it was so shattering for me. And this has nothing to do with the morality or whatever of suicide. I'm talking about the effect on me. And her funeral was terrible. It's awful. There was so much shame, you know. She had quite a severe mental illness, and there was so much shame and not wanting to know, you know. So, what have I learned, you know? See, it's tricky when you ask that, because I have developed quite strong ideas. So these are my strong ideas. that dying and death are communal matters. In my view, if we don't share these ceremonies, then we're pretty stuffed as a culture, you know. A culture that doesn't honour its dead it's without soul, in my view.
The westernisation of death and dying, and what does it create? It creates death is not a part of community. Death is separated. It really hurt to be told that we can do all of these things for other cultures and religions, but we can't for my own, and we can't for the First Peoples of this country.
Reminders of your people, of your ancestors, of the stories of triumph and tragedy and fulfillment and frustrations, you know, all of those things, you know, help us to appreciate the complexity of humanness, you know.
The more that we suppress and ignore death as a part of life, the the more dangerous naivety you can introduce to society and to an individual. So I try to teach my son that it's not a question of if something will die. It's a question of when. And so what do you do, given that you know that you've got an expiry date? What do you do with the time you have?
Specific to the southeast corner of the country where my mother's from, kind of Wexford and Waterford and that part of the country, called The Pattern, which is an annual event that's held in lots of communities around the rural communities around there, where people, the extended community, irrespective of where they now live, get back together and they have a mass in the graveyard. It's like people travel from all over the world for this stuff, you know. They'll go to The Pattern and it's a chance to kind of reconnect, I suppose, with community, whatever, but they'll literally go and stand in the graveyard together for a couple hours. They'll have a mass, they'll have a chat, and then everybody goes for kind of tea and coffee afterwards.